Want to start the sermon by just asking you, does anybody know you? Fully, truly, really, all the way through, know you? I was thinking just a few weeks ago, I forget what it is, what it was exactly. I think interacting with Nathan probably and having this thought, he thinks I'm pretty great stuff right now, but he doesn't know everything about me. And I don't really want him to know everything about me. You know, I remember my dad not really wanting me to know everything about him. There's this thought that if you know everything that your parents did in their younger years, you might think, hey, it's okay for me to do that too. And that's not what we want them to do. We want them to be better than we are. And for that, we hide certain things about ourselves at times, don't we? And the passage today comes from a story which is about ultimately Jesus knowing a person. We're told in the Gospel of John that Jesus and his disciples had to, they decided to leave Jerusalem and Judea and go back up to Galilee, and he had to walk through Samaria to get there. And as he was going through Samaria, he stopped by this town and he sat at a well, and he was worn out. And that's just something to think about right there, that Jesus was worn out. But apparently his disciples weren't worn out, because his disciples went into the town to find food. And so Jesus is sitting there by the well, and the disciples have gone into the town to find food. And while they're doing that, a Samaritan woman from the village comes out to get water from the well, to draw water from it. And when she comes out, Jesus asks her to give him a drink. And this is strange to this woman who's come out to get water, because he's a Jew. She can tell by looking at him that he is a Jew. And she says, why would you ask me for a drink? And Jesus tells her, if you knew who it was that's asking you, and if you knew the gift of God, you would ask me to give you a drink of living water. And she says to him, well, wait a minute now. You don't have anything to draw water with. The well's deep. How are you going to get water? And he starts to explain to her that the water he offers is different kind of water. He's got in mind a living water, a spring of water that would be within her, that if she drank it, she would never go thirsty. And the woman says to him, sir, give me this water that I won't have to come to the well anymore. She's got the idea of, this is some good stuff. Give me this water so I don't have to come to the well anymore. And when she asks that, Jesus interrupts the discussion. And that's what we want to look at today in John chapter 4. In verse 16, Jesus said to her, go, call your husband, and come here. He doesn't want to tell her until she brings her husband with her. And she says to him, and the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you are right in saying, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman wasn't looking for this at this time. She's just, remember, what's she out there to do? Get some water. She hasn't been able to draw any water yet. She's sitting in the sun. Jesus is thirsty. He's asked for water, but he hasn't gotten any water yet either. He explains to her about this living water. She says, I like this idea of living water. Let me have some living water. And he says, well, go call your husband and come here. Now, as is normal for us, we don't always want to get into all of our details with everybody, right? Sometimes a person will ask you, how are you doing today? And you might be having the worst day possible. What do you say? I'm great. Somebody was asking me once, it was at a pastor's kind of gathering type thing. It was just a couple of months ago. And somebody said, hey, how are things going? And I was like, same old, same old. And instantaneously I thought, what am I talking about? God has gotten a hold of me. He is shaking me. It is not same old, same old, but I'm just so used. Same old, same old. Things are just going along. We're just doing what we can. And I had a little minor rebuke. No, it's not same old, same old. Actually, some things are going on, and I started trying to explain it, and that's when I discovered that person really didn't want to know. I started trying to explain, no, actually this great stuff is happening in my life. And they're like, oh, that's great. Well, they took the conversation somewhere else. But here, this woman, now, we don't know why she's had five husbands. Maybe some of them have died. Maybe some of them have divorced her. We don't know the whole story, but she has had five husbands. And you might have five husbands for good reason. Do you really want to get into that with every stranger you meet? No. And her current situation is that she doesn't currently have a husband, but apparently she has a man in her life. But it's complicated. We're not sure the whole implication, but Jesus says, the one you now have is not yours. The word there in the Greek is man. It's your man means husband. And so when he says, you're right, you've actually had five men, and the one, the man you currently have is not your man. I don't know about you, but that sounds a certain way to me, but we don't know if that's true. The man you now have, another way of understanding it is the man you now have is somebody else's man. Maybe. We don't know, but maybe that's the case. Can you understand why the woman would say, I have no husband? I don't want to get into it with you. It's complicated. It's not something I'm necessarily proud of. Even if it's legitimate, I just don't want to get into it. But what does Jesus do? He says, you're right. You have had five husbands. The one you have not now is not your husband. What you have said is true. And of course, the next thing she does is start talking about, wait a minute, I perceive you're a prophet. You can tell me about my life. So I've had something that she just goes to the money shot. There's something I've been wondering about all my life. Our fathers say to worship here. You Jews say to worship at the temple. What are we supposed to do? You're a prophet. I want to hear the answer to the biggest question in my life. I wonder how much of that also, though, she just doesn't want to deal with the reality of what's going on in her life. There's a key word throughout this entire passage that isn't in this part of the passage that I've chosen to look at, and yet it is illustrated in it. The word, I used to think that the big thing, the stuff going on here is about living water, and that's true. We like to focus on the living water. Jesus offers her living water. She comes to faith in Jesus. She brings her entire village out to meet Jesus, and many people in that village come to faith. And so we like to focus on those things. But there's something else going on in here. Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God and the one who has saying to you, give me a drink. Later on, when she's asking about where to worship, Jesus tells her that the Jews worship what they know. You Gentiles worship what you don't know. This idea of to know is key throughout the entire passage. To know. I think it's key because when Jesus tells her, you're right in telling me you don't have a husband. Truth is you've had five. And the one you currently have isn't your husband. He is saying, I know you. And earlier, his first question was, if you knew the gift of God and the one who is asking you, give me a drink. If you knew me. If you knew what the gift of God was and if you knew who I was, you would ask me for water. This idea of to know. Now, it's interesting because this word know, it's the perfect tense of a word that means I see. Edo. Now, I see something doesn't mean I know something. But when you say it's the perfect tense, that means it's something that is perfected, it's future in the idea, but it's current. It's in the present time, and yet it's perfected. And so only in the perfect tense does this word I see mean I know. It's the idea of I see or I perceive. When she says, I perceive that you're a prophet, it's not this word. That means I comprehend. I'm noticing some things. You're telling me something about myself, so it's apparent to me you're a prophet. To know is I see it, and even though it's not here anymore, I continue to see it. I know it to be true. Right? I cannot currently see my house, but I know where my house is. I know that my house exists, even though it's not present. Babies have a hard time when something is out of their vision, it does not exist anymore. Right? That's why peekaboo can be such a fascinating game. Mom disappeared. Oh my word. Where'd she go? There she is. Oh wow. You know? That's why they get so startled when something's not there. That's why they cry when they can't see you. Because you don't exist if they don't see. But as they grow and as their brains develop, they get to the place where they know. Even though you're not visible, they know you exist. Because this idea of the perfect tense is that it's perfected in our minds. And so Jesus says, if you knew who it was who asks you, if you knew the gift of God, you would understand that it's got this ongoing result in your mind. That it's present, but it's continuing. Even if he disappears, I know it's true. And so Jesus says, if you knew these things. And later on, what does the woman say? I don't have the slides for it, but later on when she runs to tell the disciples, well, prior to that in verse 25, she says, I know that Messiah is coming. It's the same word. I know that Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he'll tell us everything. And Jesus says, I who am speaking to you am he. Later on, she runs back to her village and she tells her village people, and this is really an interesting thing. She says to them, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? It's not that told me everything that happened to me, my horrible situation, all the horrible things that the men I've been with and all these things that, you know, these horrible husbands that haven't taken care of me, but all the things I ever did. He knows me. He was able to tell me everything. But here's the thing about the knowledge that Jesus has. He doesn't hurt us with it. You know, my first question, is there anybody that knows you in and out? Why is there nobody that knows everything about you? Partly, it's because we don't know everything about ourselves. Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. Partly, though, even with those closest to us, we have this sense, this feeling. If they knew everything about me, they wouldn't want to be around me. If they knew everything about me, they wouldn't like me. If you knew everything, there are some things, every one of us has something in our life that we are so ashamed about. Somebody might know about it, but they don't know the gruesome details. Because honestly, I'm not sharing that with anybody. Jesus says, I know it all. And the reason why we don't want to share it is because we're afraid of how somebody's going to use it against us, how they're going to hurt us with it. But Jesus doesn't hurt us with this stuff. Jesus, knowing the woman, says to her, if you knew the gift of God, and he who asks you, give me a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you living water. If you knew the gift of God, if you knew who it was who asks you. And here's the great thing that I think about us as a church. You know, this idea of knowing a person. One of the things that is happening today in the churches in America is that people would rather not be known. How many of you know, have friends or children or parents that go to a church and one of their motivations for the type of church they go to is they don't want to be known. They can get in, get out, anonymous. One of the things that scares people about a small church is we're going to know you. One of the great things about being a military brat is nobody knows me. There is nobody in my life other than my family who can bring up the things I did when I was a kid. Becky, you can't get away with that, can you? There are people here who know what Becky was like when she was a kid, and she can't get away. She's known. And there's a wonderful thing about being known and yet accepted. That's what Jesus does. He says, I know you, but I'm not holding these things against you. Now, Jesus, one of the things about Jesus is he is stricter than we are, and he has more grace than we have. So what we do is when a person sins, what we like to do is tell them, oh, never mind, it wasn't as big. We like to minimize it. We like to tell you it wasn't as bad as it was. We like to say it's not really a sin, maybe. There were reasons for you to do what you did. Good reasons. And so we minimize it. Jesus doesn't minimize it. He says you don't realize how bad it is. You don't realize just how bad your sin really is. It's great. But the difference is where we minimize the sin so that we don't have to do much about it. Jesus says your sin is great, but I'm greater. And I've got a gift from God that is greater than your sin. He died on the cross for us to save us from these things, these sins in our lives. He knows us intimately greater than we know ourselves, and he's not afraid, and he doesn't use it against us. He offers us living water. Her problem isn't that she needs to be better. Her problem is she needs Jesus. And so he offers her the cure, not instruction on how to be better, but on who he is. And one of the dangers we can have as a small church is we can know people and we can hurt them with our knowledge of them. Very easy to do, isn't it? Another thing we can do, though, is we can know people and then we can minimize what they have done. And I've seen that in churches where you've got a person and they've got a sin in their lives that is bringing everybody down. It is like a millstone on the neck of the church, but nobody's going to do anything because that's family. That's not Jesus either. Jesus doesn't ignore our sin. He died on the cross for our sins. You better believe he's going to deal with the sins. He doesn't say, never mind, it's okay. He says, no, you've got a great big thing in your life and you need to change it. And I'm the change agent. I'm here to change it for you. That's what he does. I just feel like we've got this great opportunity as a church to know people. But not to know them to hurt them and not to know them to minimize what they've done, but to know them, to share with them who Jesus is, to help them know Jesus, to help other people know his salvation. And so I want to ask you today, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus today? He says, if you knew the one who is saying to you, give me a drink. Do you know him? Do you know who he is and what he has done for us in our lives today? Do you know that he knows everything about you, that he loves you, and that you cannot disappoint him? You cannot let him down because you don't hold him up. And he's the one that comes to you where you are and says, give me a drink. And what that is he's taking the first step. He's putting her in a position where she can serve him, where they can have fellowship together. And Jesus invites us to have fellowship with him before we even know what that means, what it entails deeper. If you know Jesus, then the question is, do you know the gift of God? Do you know what he offers us? It's a gift that we all can receive and accept. It's a gift given to us in our sin. Not that we have to get better, but where we are today. It's a gift that keeps on giving. It's not just for our past sins. It's not just for the future that we can get to heaven, but it's for today. That our sins are forgiven today. That Jesus has given us the opportunity and the ability to live for him today through his salvation. That he has given us living water and he knows you inside and out. He knows the failures you had yesterday, the failures you're going to have tomorrow. He knows the good things you've tried to do and failed to do. And he makes up for it. He covers it. He gives us grace. Do you know that Jesus knows you inside and out? And then finally, I want to ask you, who can you tell this to? Who can you share this with this week? Who can you make Jesus known to? He has come to make himself known to us. We have heard him. We have experienced him. He's not here present with us, but we know him, right? Not just mentally, but in the idea of the perfect tense. He is known to us. Even if we have rough spots where we don't hear his voice as clearly as we used to, we still know he is true. He has gone to his Father, but through the church, he is still known. Who do you know who doesn't know Jesus today? Maybe a family member, maybe a friend or a neighbor. Who do you know that this week you could let them know who Jesus is? That he knows who they are. That he knows what they've done, and he's not mad, and he's not angry, and he's not holding it against them. Who do you know that you could share this with today? Because that's our job. And let me tell you something, you know a lot more people than I do. Combined, but probably individually, you know a lot more people than I do. Who do you know today that sometime this week you could share with them who Jesus is? And I want to encourage you today to share Jesus' grace with them. That's what this is. This is grace. This isn't rubber stamping sin. It's not ignoring it. It's acknowledging what it is and then acknowledging the Savior who covers it. He knows you fully. He knows me fully. He knows those things we don't even want to think about ourselves, much less talk about. And he says, I give you living water. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and this opportunity to glorify you by listening to your word, by thinking about your grace. And we pray, Lord, that we do know you. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you, I pray, Lord, that they would know Jesus, that they would come to know him, come to know the grace, the gift that you have given us, your salvation through Jesus. And we pray, Lord, this week is that we would be praying about it and looking for opportunity to share the great news, the knowledge of Jesus, with those that need to know him. We pray, Lord, that as a church, we would be able to share our lives with one another, that we would know each other and yet not hurt one another, but also not just ignore it, but encourage one another in faith and the forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, so much for your grace. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.